So you know we've been pronouncing these names all wrong, right?
All of them, just top to bottom?
Not all, but like more than I thought.
Tell me about it.
I just, you know, like, I mean, you know, there's the, okay. Lee Song Min.
Yep.
Not Lee Song Min.
The L is silent.
Uh-huh. And it's more of a min than a min. The L is silent for, Yuan and, Yun Sun as well. So it's Im. Yuan and Im Yun Sun.
Oh.
We got like, we're close on Jin Ho, but it's more like Jin Ho. Sort of you more the H is less is pronounced.
Okay.
Our we've been saying Yun for the EUN. It's just Un.
So Un cool, Un cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Un Jiwon.
Hmm.
We just been messing it all up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Garnet Wager, where we mess it all up.
The Garnet Wager is a show where two players compete in a fantasy style competition while watching episodes of The Genius. Players accumulate points based on the actions of their chosen fantasy contestants in the game show, and these points are tracked over the course of the season. The player that wins in fantasy points for that episode wins the episode, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. This competition is not just for the hosts. Rules are made available to anyone who wants to play as you listen along with us. Welcome to Season 2. Welcome to the Garnet Wager. Begin.
My name is Alan.
Well, my name is Six. I'm a podcaster.
As you can tell from this fancy new microphone.
It is a fancy new microphone. I hope it sounds better and not worse, but this is my first time using it for a podcast, so I guess we'll see.
Did you record anything and test it?
Yes, I did, but I also just bumped my microphone, so that's probably sounded bad.
Yes. Did yours come with a free copy of Assassin's Creed?
No, it did not.
That's so unfortunate.
I don't think I would want it.
Okay, fair enough. What you do want is to talk about this episode of The Genius.
I do, that's true. This is episode 2 of The Genius Season 2 Rule Breaker. And this episode is titled for its main match, which is Seat Exchange.
I think this is one of the funniest episodes of The Genius.
I felt kind of dissatisfied by this episode of The Genius.
Hell yeah. This is the season of the Garnet Wager where Six and I can't agree on shit. It's great. Check it out. What did you not like about it?
The main match was bad.
Okay.
There wasn't really, like, there were some funny moments, but there wasn't really room for play. There was one play in the entire main match, and that play ended the game. It was mostly just people trying to make plays happen and not being able to.
Yeah.
Because there just wasn't enough room in the rules for them to do anything interesting.
It, in a way, okay. I got nothing. I'm wiped out by these takes. It's, the thing I liked about it was just the fact that it boils down one of my favorite things about The Genius, which is contestants. Like, what causes you and what leads to you putting faith in somebody, and why do you do that, and what keeps it and what breaks it, and how we can play with that relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the problem is it's just that, because the actual game, Seat Exchange, which is just a game where you need to have, everybody has an assigned number, and you need to have five people with consecutive numbers sitting next to each other in a circle of seating. And everybody in that group of five wins or gets immunity, but the person in the middle wins, and they get to give it one token to everyone else who loses. The problem is that it ends up getting split into two teams. I guess it's, who would you say is like the figurehead of both teams?
Well, the problem is it doesn't, like, I don't feel like it actually ends up being teams until like teams are so fluid of like people, like they're teams for like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of the episode, and they're like, oh wait, that person's lying, you're not on my team anymore. Yeah. The alliances are so swirling and there's no consistency to it. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like the only real consistent team throughout the whole episode is Jinno and Hong Chul. And they don't even cooperate very well in the main match.
No. They end up cooperating really well for the DM, which works out swingly. But they don't, yeah, I there isn't a lot of like they try, like you said, they try to split into teams, but they keep telling people like, oh, you go to that side. And you tell them that, and then we'll have this information. And like it's just all running on these assumptions that people are being honest. And they even point this out. Like, as soon as one person lies or like gets their face read incorrectly, you break the whole game. And you just end up in these like endless rounds of like, all right, guys, we got this. We made a five. We made a set. Everybody here is being honest. Yes. Okay, great. They sit down. Bandage guy goes, the total set, the highest set currently is 2 people. And they're like, what the? Everyone's mad. Everyone's lying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, then they regain, because they also only have 10 minutes. I think that's part of why it feels really circuitous and time wasting, is with only 10 minutes to reconvene every round, they kind of just can go like, hey, did you lie? No. All right. Really? No, I didn't lie. Okay, let's sit down. Oh shit, you lied. Like, just doing that over and over again leads to the episode just kind of circling the drain for a while. Like, I like it when they finally win. I think that was an exciting couple of minutes when everyone is not only deciding what they want their five to be, but kind of making these deals of like, we are going to make five, but our alliance is 6 people. And one person is, we guarantee you, we are going, you're going to lose, you're going to get into the loser's bracket, but we're going to give you our immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who it was exactly, but there was a person, I think it was Yu Young, who was told that she was going to be the person sent to the DM, and is like, I don't, like, how am I supposed to, you guys are telling me to lose, and then also telling me that you're going to give me immunity? Like, how am I supposed to, why would I trust that? None of you have any reason to help me.
Well, part of the thing is actually that was Jae Kyung.
It was Jae Kyung, sorry.
And that's the reason she ends up, like, well, I mean, there are other reasons. I don't feel like, we'll talk about the DM, but I don't feel like the DM was going to go her way even if it wasn't rigged, honestly.
Yeah.
But, like, it was rigged, and partially because she pissed people off during the main match
right,
by waffling a lot.
Straight up. Was it her also who, when Doohee was like, oh, okay, we nailed it. If everybody here is being honest, then we're good. And then one person is off and or like doesn't swap. She doesn't like swap seats with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all would have won. But because she doesn't swap seats, then they don't. They end up losing.
Yeah,
I think that was exactly. Her. Yeah. And it's like, what? There are times in the genius and in life where you need to pick your alliances very well. And you need to be very picky about your alliances. But like, don't be picky about everything. At some point, someone tells you to trust them. Just do it. Like, the game cannot end if there is no fundamental basic trust in this group. It's almost like a trust building exercise that we're just going to be in this endless circle of rounds until everybody, or at least 5 people, stop lying and bullshitting each other.
And it's also, I mean, like, so her thing is like, you know, like, no, I'm not gonna like go down without immunity, right?
Yeah.
And like, I understand that position, but you also have to consider where you're standing, which is like, okay, we're at a position where it's just a fact of the genius that a lot of these death matches can be affected by people outside of the death match.
Right.
That the majority can sway these death matches.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're at the point where you are obstructing a large number of players, and it is starting to become like there's like a spotlight on the fact that you're being a pain in the ass, you need to go along with it because they're going to have your head. They're like, they're going to be out for blood because you screwed them.
You're screwing multiple people, and you're screwing the pacing of the episode too, which I know they're probably not thinking about that because you can obviously edit around a lot of stuff. But like, Like, people, we have things to do. We have a, like, we eventually want to go to the DM. Like, I don't want to be here all day. Like,
I don't think you can think about that as a contestant. I don't think that's, like, right. I mean, like,
that's not
it's noble of Hong Chul to try and make the episodes entertaining and go out of his way to make things more fun. But, like, it's not a contestant's response. It's a contestant's responsibility to be engaging and to play the game and to do their best. It is not their job to try and make the games quick.
Right. I think we said this in the first, in either the first episode or when we were doing picks, but end of the day, the genius should have, I'd rather have interesting plays than players. You know, you were saying that that's your like whole mantra of the season is plays over players. I want to talk about Hong Chul. Are you okay talking about Hong Chul?
Of course.
So I continue to love him. I'm glad I picked him. He's earning me a whole lot of points. And all I texted you about while watching this episode was Hong Chul's the best. He's so funny. This is such a great episode. I'm getting tired of Hong Chul's whole shtick already.
Wow.
Yeah. It honestly, it flips like scene to scene because there is something really funny and rewarding and like satisfying about watching someone be loud and earnest. And surrounded by people who are like confused by them, but it can kind of tiptoe into the awkwardness of like knowing that everyone else is like a little bit annoyed and one like worrying that it might teeter into like they're actually annoyed and they want him to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm reading a lot into their reactions. But like when he is picking people to go to the DM and he's just like playing the like, again, comparing him to the Joker, like this is like nightmarish Duck Duck Goose. And they're like, just pick someone, please just pick someone. I do think that's funny. And I never, ever, ever want to tell somebody to not be on their bullshit. I think we just don't have enough of that in general. But like, please, like read the room sometimes. There are plenty of things he says that are funny and charming and play to the game well. Like, I think... him, like a third of the way through the episode, getting mad that people lied to him and then saying like, oh, well, you know how we can fix this is you can give me garnets. I need medicine to treat my injuries and the ointment is garnets. And you're like, Hong Chul, I'm proud of you. You're doing great. You're doing, these are very good plays. I hope people aren't annoyed by you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about him so far?
I mean, so I think I agree that sometimes he kind of crosses the line, but also, I mean, like, especially in this episode, I feel like nobody works with him this entire episode. People lie to him constantly. People, like, Jin-ho, I think Jin-ho was trying to help him in the main match, I genuinely do.
Yes.
But his way of helping him was really patronizing and protective, and I totally sympathize with Hong Chul being really frustrated with that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, when you get to the point where it's like, okay, I finally get to do something, I finally get to have some power, I'm glad you guys got to play a game for the last however many hours, it's my turn to play, sit down.
Yeah.
Like, I can sympathize with that to an extent.
Like, let me have the fun this time. Because he does get kind of dicked over the whole match. The whole main match, if I can say that.
Yeah, he does.
And again, yeah, I do appreciate him being like, all right, well, it's my turn to have fun. I think what people legitimately in the game aren't realizing is that Hong Chul is good at this. Like, I think that they are seeing him as like, this guy is trying to have fun and isn't even trying. He's super good. He's like very smart and knows how to play both the main match and knows how to do a DM. We're going to talk about this in the DM. He makes some decisions that disappoint me a lot and frustrate me a lot as a player who wants to see him succeed. But in general, I think he totally knows, like, this is a good alliance to have. This is a bad alliance to have. This is a play that's going to pay off in the long run. Like, he is thinking about that in ways that I honestly don't think everyone is. And so when people are like, maybe chill with the being annoying stuff, I want to see him continue doing it because I'm just like, well, I'm... you know, you do you, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I feel like you're giving him a little too much credit. I feel like he's a solid player in a lot of categories, and I feel like he has very good, like, psychological presence. He's very strong in that area. but I don't think he's like, he's a powerhouse of like a game sense or game skill, you know? I think he's solid. I think he can compete, but I don't think he's like one of the top five people there.
Well, it's also worth comparing him to Songmin in this episode, because Songmin like does a lot of, seems kind of like he's doing a lot of smart plays in the beginning. You know, he's asking everybody, hey, be on my team. Are you, what's your number? And they say a number and he goes, hey, are you lying? And then talks to the like confessional, which, side question, did they do confessionals in the first season? I don't remember.
Yeah, they did.
They did. There was a scene where Doohee was doing confessionals, and I was like, is this a new thing? This feels weird.
Well, Doohee had, like, a long one where he got to... This was, like, yeah. I feel like we're going to talk more character by character, because the one thing this episode was really good for was giving us a lot of these characters.
Yeah.
But, like, Doohee had a really long one, which we haven't seen before, so...
That was the more the thing. I was like, this is, like, a scene. This is not, like, a one-second, like, I agreed with this guy. It was like him basically breaking down all the alliances and talking about his observations. But Songmin asks all these people and says, like, I have a very good intuition for when people are lying to me. And then cut like 5 minutes later and they have that part where he's like, someone says, like, are you lying to Songmin? And then someone else goes, we've all been doing that. Everyone's been lying to Songmin this whole time. And he's like all excited, and then when he realizes that, the emotext says turn off the, and then there's the Korean character for intuition, like turn off the intuition, because Songmin is just like dead wrong. And
I feel like you're misinterpreting that, honestly. I mean, like, so Songmin, like, I feel like Songmin sort of indicates that when he has time to study someone, he can tell. Like, he had that moment with Yu-young, where Yu-young immediately lies to him and he says, are you lying? And, like, it has, like, the, you know, like, the animation of, like, the lie sensor.
Yes.
And he totally catches her. And then with Ji-won, he immediately knows that Ji-won is lying. And he doesn't get it, like, he doesn't get it with, like, Yu-won, but, like, there's literally the moment of him, like, turning to, like, stare down Yu-won and sense this out, and Ji-won busts in and starts, like, talking and interrupting him. Like, Songmin chooses to trust very few people, and the only person he's wrong about trusting is Yu-won, and that's because he was sort of interrupted. I feel like his intuition was actually pretty good there. It's just the realization is he's not going to have the opportunity to bust it out.
I think, well, yeah, end of the day, he's probably one of the smartest players in here. I think he's going to go a very, very, very long way, to be honest with you, because he knows, like, he's not playing to the camera anymore. He continues to not play to the camera this episode. Whereas last season it felt like he would like be a character in one scene and then be playing the game the other one. Now he's just like, nope, I'm playing a game. I'm here to win. I know how to do that. Let's make it happen. Like, he's smart, but I was just saying that the text and the like side talk from the other players made it sound like the show was suggesting that he was maybe full of some hot air, where I know he isn't. I know he's a good player, obviously. It just seemed like, whereas the show doesn't seem like the players don't know that Hong Chul is good, the show seems to make it seem like Songmin is not. But they're both doing well. Not that they're on the same level. I know Songmin's better than Hong Chul. Like, I am determined I'm putting my stake in the ground with that.
Are we gonna do a tier list right now? Is that what we're doing?
God, Songmin is the perfect cell of the Genius Season 2.
You could be referring to the show or the game, because he's bullshit in both.
Oh, man.
He's so busted in Dragon Ball FighterZ. It makes me angry. They were like, oh, we're doing a balance patch, and we're adjusting all these characters, including Cell. And it was like, thank God you're nerfing Cell. And they buffed Cell.
They buffed him more?
What are you doing? They buffed him more.
Oh, no.
Anyway. So the other people, I feel like I got, like, interesting moments this episode. I want to talk about Jin-ho, and I want to talk about his relationship to Yu-won and to StarCraft.
Yeah, okay, bring it on.
Because I feel like with Yu-won here, Jin-ho is having trouble, like, keeping his StarCraft instincts and his genius instincts separate. I think in Season 1 he did a pretty good job of having them be different things, and with Yu-won here he's having a hard time of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you're getting stuff in, like, episode 1, he was referring to all the different animals as, like, different races, like in StarCraft. He keeps making these StarCraft comparisons, and he just seems, like, really, like, skittish and uncomfortable compared to season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wants to have, like, these two parts of his life be segmented, and with Boxer here, he just can't do it.
It's just there. Like, he almost feels like he has... Are you saying that he almost feels like he has to?
I feel like he just doesn't, like, it, unconsciously, having this person who was his constant rival in StarCraft here has just put his mind, like, he's unable to keep the two separate in his mind anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, Yuan hasn't done anything impressive. He hasn't done a single he's been fine. He hasn't made a single big play. He's proposed multiple plays to Jinho. Mm-hmm. The Jinho's been able to be like, Yuan, you're forgetting a rule and that's stupid. But Jinho still, like, gets tense and seizes up when Yuan is in the room. It's like, I talked a little bit with a friend about this, but it's like, I have another friend, you know Harry.
I do.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Harry and I play fighting games together. I'm a little bit better than Harry, because I've been at this a lot longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're pretty evenly matched in the games we tend to play. Except that I tend to clutch things out, I tend to get better as the round goes on, and Harry tends to get worse as the round goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, and at this point, it's not even the fact that we do that, it's that we both know that we do that. And so when we play, even if Harry's doing fine, Harry will start to crumble because Harry knows that Harry will crumble.
Right.
We both have this dynamic established in our minds. And with Yuan and Jinho, I think that's exactly what's happening, is Jinho has this like, oh no, I never beat Yuan. When Yuan's around, I'm always number two. And so with Yuan in the room, even though he's better at this than Yuan, his brain is just getting in the way.
It's kind of disappointing. Like, I don't want to see Jinho. I kind of don't want to see Jinho leave because of stuff like this.
I mean, he's still playing amazing. Like,
he is.
Fantasy points. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. We'll hear some numbers. But do you know how many fantasy points Jinho got this episode?
At least 20.
46.
Hey.
He got more than I got on the entirety of day one.
That's
by himself.
Fucking awesome. Jinho, well, that's the thing, right, is the reason I'm starting to feel iffy about my Hong Chul pick is, like, I'm sure he got some good points this episode, but I don't know. I think Jinho is becoming my ringer, mm-hmm. and I want him to be around for a while because I like his plays a lot, and he knows what he's doing. Hong Chul is just out there. He's just having fun, and like, I appreciate it. I love seeing him on here. I think what I'm realizing is, like, the reason Hong Chul is like this is because he's got a face for TV. Like, mm-hmm. he's been in front of the cameras for, honestly, the majority of his life. I ended up doing some reading about him. So he's just used to, like, being on. I would love to just get a drink with Hong Chul, like, today. And just, like, talk realistically with him about, like, his life and, like, what he likes doing, actually, see what he's like when he's not on his shit.
That would be so hard to get. I don't know. Like, I've guested on some podcasts before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Hong Chul reminds me of the times that I've guested on, like, small podcasts, where it's like, I mean, like, these podcasters are doing good work, but it's like, they're recording through, like, I was on a podcast where the way they did it was they got on Skype, and then one of them record, like, put a mic in front of their speakers and recorded everything that was coming out.
Oh my god.
As like, I don't mean this as an insult, but you guys are just really amateur. Yeah. This is just really amateur. And it's like, it's fine. I think you guys do, like, you guys have like, a fun dynamic, and you're having a good time. But, like, and also there was a lot of dead air, and they didn't do much audio editing. And it's just like, on that show, I was the person who does this, right? Yeah. I was the podcaster, and I had a level of, like, practiced engagement that they did not have. And it made me stand out in a way that was good and bad, because I kind of felt out of place and weird. I think Hong Chul does that sometimes, mm-hmm. where it's like he's so engaged with the game that it feels like he's not part of the same... He feels like a ringer, right? He feels like the person that and I guess this is probably literally true, is that he was brought on the show to be the person who's enthusiastic and always
yeah.
there for it.
Yeah, totally. 100%. That is the thing that worries me about both his potential as one of my fantasy players and like just his potential to do well is you cannot just keep being out there And, like, I guess I kind of relate to desperately wanting to trust people with everything inside of you and just giving that all up. But that's going to get you killed. Like, that's, again, in real life and in the game, that's such a bad strat. Kind of on the opposite end, this is sort of an interesting little parallel. I just to make sure of the pronunciation, Jiwon is pronounced how?
Jiwon.
Jiwon, like, doesn't seem to know that you can't just lie to everyone because you're gonna have no alliances going forward. Did you notice that at all?
His lie was really stupid.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay. Yeah. So we're on the same page. He just, like, why did you, like, I honestly, I wrote in my notes, like, why did you even bother lying here? You didn't help anybody. You literally lost yourself alliances.
And, like, I understand the first part of the lie, right? The first part where he's like, I just assumed everyone was lying to everyone and I needed cover.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I can understand that. The part where then he's like, I'll tell, like, Songmin, I'll tell you my number if you can find number 10.
Yeah.
It's like, you're number 10. What is the point of any of this?
What are you doing?
Like, it was genuinely, and, like, talking to Reese a little bit about this, like, when you are talking to someone, and, like, setting aside the fact that Songmin is, like, infamously good at reading people.
Yeah.
When you are talking to someone and you tell them a lie, and they roll their eyes, laugh, and then mime kneeing you in the stomach, the jig is up, my friend.
You have lost.
Like, they know. It was such a baffling play, and it's like the game could have been over within like two or three rounds if Jiwon hadn't lied for really no reason.
And if Jake Young-gal had fucking played along with Doohee's plan, we would have ended way earlier. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a really baffling play, and like this is the episode where several people were like, "Oh yeah, no, I had a bad impression of Jiwon, but he really is a genius." And it's like,
What?
Where did that? Is that because he's wearing like a baseball cap and glasses, and it just gives him a certain look? Because like, where are you drawing this from?
I like the Spurs hat. I think it's a good choice. He's got some good fashion.
He does have some good fashion. That's true.
But
he has that good like chic dork look.
Yeah, he looks like somebody, he looks like a lot of my friends in high school, who I wasn't, like, good friends with, but I would, like, play Counter-Strike with, where I'm just like, oh, you're cool, and you, like, have good taste, and I'm like, interested, and you always dress well, but you're also, like, a huge nerd. He, like, reminded me of a lot of specific people in that. But, yeah, there are just scenes where everyone's like, Jiwon, what are you doing? Why did you lie to everyone? He's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, just stop. It's the opposite of the Hong Chul problem, where you're just like, if you just want to play the lie to people game, you're gonna lose just as fast as Hong Chul does.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really famous, not really famous, but a really funny sketch from this old, not old, but... sketch from the show I really like called Kroll Show, and the bit is that Nick Kroll, he plays all these different characters and does little sketches, and there's one where he's in a reality show and they do all of the like confessionals and like intros, and every other player is like, I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to win, and he's like, the goof is that he's the only person on the reality show who goes, I'm here to make friends. And he's just like, I thought we all came here to work together and help each other out. And because it's in a parody of like American reality shows, everyone else is like, no, it's time to, you know, me and my own, and I'm the only person who can win. And like Hong Chul is just becoming that, and Jiwon is entirely the like American reality television contestant who's like, it's time to win by being an asshole.
I don't understand him. And I want to see more. I want to see a reason to,
yeah,
to believe.
Because there's like players that I'm not worried about, but I have questions about.
Like whom?
Mr. Sunglasses and long dress skirt situation.
Eunkyul,
yes. He's interesting. That outfit's a lot. He's got like big boots. And I think that the sort of like skirt pants thing is actually like a more common thing in Korea, in Korean fashion.
It seems like he got like misdirected on the way to a filming of The Raid Part 3.
Or like The Matrix 2. We're just wearing like kind of long clothes, long and all black. Hong Chul even points out like, well, I don't know why some people are wearing all black. This is not a funeral. What are we doing? But so he doesn't.
A strange choice.
He's just. I mean, there's not much to say about him. Like, he doesn't do any big plays, but he's definitely like forming alliances and doing the work. So I continue to think that he could, be really good. But
you feel like he's in like a season one like Eunji kind of rule, where he's like trying to like make alliances but stay under the radar.
I think that's I think that's what he's setting himself up as. I think that is what he's trying to do at least. Yeah.
I feel like, so we got some, our opinion, well, my opinion keeps changing on Doohee.
Yeah.
Before the season started, it was like, we both were like, oh, a hacker, he's gonna be a dickhead.
Yeah. Nope.
Cause hackers. And then like there was episode one and it was like, oh, he basically didn't speak the entire time until he won a DM for Yoon Sun.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, okay, he's going to be, like, quiet but, like, powerful. Like, he won't say a word, but he'll make the right play at the right time. And then this episode, he does, like, a lot of talking.
He's
and
just friends like, with everyone.
He's surprisingly also, like, kind of strong-willed. Like, he got really, like, openly frustrated with Jae Kyung.
Yeah.
And he had, like, he made a plan early that was smart and would have worked and was not, like, going to just accept the fact that it didn't. So he's interesting. He's definitely one I want. Like, if I had to redraft right now, I would probably
take him.
Yeah, got my eye on him.
Who would you? I mean, if someone was eliminated right now?
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a good pick because even like he's just forming really. He's forming the good kind of alliances. The like, I will drop everything to save you. Alliances. Like he grabs Jae Kyung's hand and says, "I promise, I'm going to save you." Like that. Yeah. That like physical moment where you're like, "Oh shit, he is like trying. He is doing it." And like high fives, I think he high fives Yoon Sun at one point because they're working together and doing good math. Like, it's kind of interesting how people are not playing to our expectations from reading about them. That's something I've seen consistently so far. I think just being on the Genius gets a certain personality out of people, like the whole being in this group of people and the vibe and the game's type and all of that like pulls something out of certain people. Because you have Young Hyun also, who I joked earlier could have been like this season's teacher Cha, because he's the older guy and he seems really chill and smart. I don't think,
but he's this season's teach me Cha.
Exactly, he doesn't.
Please,
know what's
someone
going
explain
on.
The rules.
Oh God, he doesn't know anything that's going on. He's just fumbling through it. He's like any minute now he's just gonna fall into the DM. I mean, fortunately, he's been on good alliances so far. Like, I don't think he's like I don't actually think he's like an instant elimination, but he can't win a main match for his life. Didn't he win the first one?
Yeah, he did.
Well, but yeah, but that was, you know,
kind of luck.
Yes, it was not entirely through his own work.
So him and Yoan, I feel like for both of them, I'm at a point where I'm like, they're like scrambling at the side of the cliff, and I'm trying to figure out if they're going to gain traction or if they're going to fall. Because both of them, it's like, okay, if you manage to get like a grip on this, I think you could be really strong. I think Young Hyun has the right kind of like personality that he could be really easy to get along with, and he could be like a lot of alliances number two.
Totally, that's a good point.
He could be that kind of person, but he's going to have to figure out what is happening and why he's in this building. And Yuan just, like, I mean, he needs to get his fucking head in the game.
Play the game, man.
He needs, like, it seems like he is very convinced that because Jinho did this is easy. And he needs to understand that Jinho is smart and good at this. And he needs to take this more seriously. Because he's embarrassing, you know, yeah, he's on my team. He's embarrassing me. Right now, if I could, I would drop him for Doohee.
Yeah.
And, like, he was my second pick. He's embarrassing me right now.
Yeah, totally. Well, he's just not playing the game. Like, he is not. And not in the Gura season one way of, like, choosing to be distant. But just, like, not even try. Like, literally no effort. It's just like, why are you here?
I mean, and some effort, but, like, in the wrong direction. He doesn't understand the game he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than Jung Hyun. It's not he's baffled. It's that he thinks he's playing a different game.
Yeah.
And he thinks he knows the rules really well.
But not going well so far for him.
No. No.
I think, yeah, I think hopefully I can get you to do a redraft soon. and we can shuffle around because I want us both to have good players. I want the scores to be good and even. And I mean, Yoan probably, if he was on one of our teams, would not be getting any points right now. Because again, we structured our fantasy point structures around what is a good genius player. And so we're answering that question collaboratively through this fun show.
And, you know, some of our answers are kind of jokey.
Yeah.
Saying simple in English doesn't make you a good genius player.
No.
But like fucking, you know.
But that'll make
me
happy.
It makes you a star. It makes you a star.
It makes you my hero.
Right. Exactly.
I wrote a bunch of stuff here. Oh, Juwan and Hong Chul are madly in love. I like that moment. Again, I'm honestly like at the point where I'm just going to let Hong Chul speak for himself. I don't need to keep telling people that he's great because the show gives him like half of the episode screen time to be silly.
He gets a lot of air time.
Yeah. So I don't have to. It's not like I like loving characters like that if the show doesn't seem to care. As soon as the show is like, check out Hong Chul, he's wacky. Like, you put someone like that in front of me and like parade them around in funny clothes, I get tired very quickly. I'm like, this is a bit. This feels fake. This feels manufactured. I don't think it actually is, but I just think I'm getting a little bit too much of Hong Chul. I do still like him. I really do want to emphasize that. But, like, please, let him just be silly in the background with everyone else.
And you know you're going to see a different Songmin when Hong Chul goes home.
Fucking yeah, I am. Yeah, that's a good point. We're putting our stakes in the ground. You're saying Songmin outlasts Hong Chul. I mean, I agree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, honestly, this feels like a Songmin who's coming back, like, less focused on entertaining and more on the game.
Yeah.
100%. I think he's going to go as far as he did last time. I think he's final three.
Yeah? You think he's big boy?
Yeah. I think he's going far. And you know what? I don't think Jinho is.
Wow.
And I don't think that's Jinho's fault. I think there's going to come a point where everyone's like, we need to fucking get Jinho out of here. He's going to win again.
Wow. I mean, just maybe it's because I think Jinho is winning, not winning, but like getting me fantasy points that he feels like he's going to last long, but he might not. That's a good point.
I mean, I think he'll last a while. I just think Songmin is going to outlast him this time.
Yeah.
I think this game, like with all the like everyone knowing this, like the genius better as a thing this season, I think there's going to be a lot more mindfulness of getting rid of threats. I think that's going to be a concept that is way more present.
Right. But you mean amongst the players?
Right, right, of people being like, we need to send this person home, they're too scary.
Yeah.
Because that didn't really happen very much in Season 1.
Well, because it was new and not everyone knew each other, and they were just like, well, we have to figure each other out. By the time they did, people are already getting eliminated. Like, it's a different stage of play. But I think that's most of what I have about the actual episode.
Yeah, so let's go over our... Yeah, so the DM, Hong Chul, ends up being the elimination candidate because the game ends while he is the X. And he picks Jae Kyung for the deathmatch.
You know, again, a very silly sequence which pushes the boundaries of does everyone actually think Hong Chul's annoying or are we just being silly? Where he's like playing a like hellish duck duck goose and being like, shake my hand, if you do it underhanded, then that's you, you're going to the DM, and like, who should I pick? And like chasing people around, and Yun Sun's like, no, don't touch me, I don't want to play with you. And then he picks Jae Kyung.
All right. So let's talk about our homework.
Woo!
So you watched Season 1, Episode 29 of Lucha Underground.
Hell yeah.
It was a fairly match-heavy episode, which I was surprised by. I watched it with you, because wrestling, listen... Don't watch wrestling alone. That's a really sad life. Don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. I was hoping there was going to be a little more story in this one. There was not, but there were some good matches. So I'll just let you know. Lucha Underground is a season-based wrestling show. I think Season 4 is being produced right now and will be up on Netflix. 1 through 3 are all up on Netflix. And yeah, it's like a Lucha Libre-focused, like, fantasy wrestling league. And when I say fantasy, I mean like one of the wrestlers is named Drago because he's a dragon. One of them is named Mil Muertes because he's the reincarnation of a thousand deaths. I mean, it is fantasy. So, have you, what is your, like, have you watched much wrestling before?
Kind of. In the, like, 90s and early aughts, my sister and I watched a decent amount of wrestling, or at least, like, knew about it culturally and watched little clips of it, because, you know, wrestling, especially when you don't know anything about it and what the, how the performance of it works, is kind of magical. You're just like, these people get in a ring and just, like, hit each other, and we watch this every single week, and then, like, there's a storyline with lore and shit. And I watched it a lot, and then I got older and I stopped caring, and then I played some of the, like, PS2 WWE games. So I had a lot of experience with, like, that era of the WWE. One of my best friends is, like, a huge wrestling fan and has been his whole life. Like, I texted him that I was in the middle of watching a Lucha Underground episode, and he was like, oh, my God, turn that off and watch New Japan Pro Wrestling also, please. And I was like, I don't want to watch more than one thing. But, like, this seems like one of the good ones, because I think, even honestly, most people I know that watch wrestling never tell you to watch wrestling. It's, like, one of the hobbies that's, like, barred off from any, like, nobody wants anybody to get into it. At least in the groups of people that I keep in polite company, because it's extremely problematic. I know wrestling has had a history and a present of obviously, like, big misogyny and like corporate fuck ups and just, like, bad management in general, and bad lineups and bad storylines, bad across the board. Like, there's still something enjoyable to it. There's still a good artifice to it, and you can kind of enjoy it for what it is without acknowledging all of that, but it's still there. And I think that's why, like, no one ever recommends me wrestling, so that's why I never got into it until after my childhood. But I will say Lucha Underground was fun. It's really fun. Like, hearing you, I'm like, oh, why does this lady have a thing in like a big napkin, and you're like, oh, that's like that dude's soul or something in a crystal. I'm like, wait, is this anime? And you're like, kinda. Like, it's essentially, it's there.
Yeah.
But what's cool is just like anime, or just like shonen anime, like, it's just structured around the fights. It's like, yeah, there's some plot, there's some characters, there's some threats and propositions, but end of the day, we're getting to people in a ring hitting each other very hard. Or looking like they're hitting each other very hard, and making big noises and grunts and wearing funny costumes. And it looks cool. Like, you can, I've since learned what wrestling actually is, which is, like, a really carefully choreographed performance, between actors, but, you can get over that really fast. Like, I was not thinking about that at all while watching these fights. I was just like, oh, this is, like, cool. This is, like, because I watched Power Rangers as a kid, and they were never hitting the bad guys in that show. But you can believe it. Like, suspension of disbelief is actually not that hard, even as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't give credit to, like much older people will say, like, oh, cartoons are bad because none of it's realistic. And it's like, they're ignoring the fact that it's really easy to, like, you can draw two circles on a smile and call that a face with eyes, and people can put the pieces together. Like, you can hit a guy or like make a noise like you're hitting a guy by slapping your thigh, and I'm gonna go, whoa, you totally just hit that guy, and feel it. Like, it works. I was, like, bought into it. It was magical, honestly. I think that's the thing I love when you assign me homework, is that I'm, like, learning that things I never decided to try are actually really cool. I know you were saying, though, that you wanted an episode with more plot. What was the reasoning behind that? Because I think the fighting episodes, like, if this is the norm, then that's a pretty good show, but I'm curious how another episode would, like, split the difference.
I mean, there'd just be a little more interstitial stuff of story. I mean, like, so the thing that's interesting about Lucha Underground, and the thing that they do that other wrestling doesn't, is other wrestling films all the, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff or, like, the story stuff like it's a sport, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're going to do this backstage interview with this person in the locker room, right? Mm-hmm. And it's this weird artifice where it's like, we all know this is scripted. Why are you pretending it's not? And it's like, of course, I mean, you know, pretend it's not scripted for the sake of, like, selling the reality of it. But don't let it get in the way of making it entertaining. Because if, like, anytime someone wants to say something, they have to say it in front of, like, a curtain with an interviewer, that gets weird.
That's the only way you're allowed to talk.
Right. And it makes it strange. Or if you're standing in the middle of the ring with a microphone just being like, John Cena, I hear you think you're the shit, but I'm the shittiest.
I'm the real shit.
Right. And, like, Lucha just films it like a soap opera, where it's, like, you have, like, impossible angles and, like, you know, obviously there's no reason, there's, like, that no one acts like there's a cameraman there as someone, like, throws a person through a locker. And it's just, like, that presentation makes you able to tell a different kind of behind-the-scenes story. There's, like, a sequence where, like, so Mil Muertes, the reincarnation of a thousand deaths, wants a match. He wants a shot at the title, because for some reason that's a thing he cares about. And so his like, handler, Katrina, goes to talk to Dario Cueto, the owner of Lucha Underground, right? Mm-hmm. And if this was WWE, it'd be like, you know, he, like, she walks in the room and sits down at the desk and they have a conversation and then she gets angry and, like, walks out or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But since this is Lucha Underground, Dario Cueto's, like, there's, like, some weird, like close, like, creepy cam, and Dario Cueto's in his office and it's really quiet, and, like, there's, like, the lights flicker and then she's behind him, and then she starts, like, teleporting around the room and then, like, tries to choke him with his own necklace. It's great!
That's just what the show does. And it does, like you said, that point about the artifice is really smart, because wrestling wants some of its audience to be fully bought into this being a like a sport that people are watching and could be aired, like, on ESPN if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. They've been continuing that bit for decades, for better and for usually worse. And this show, starting new, it kind of just feels like a Netflix show. It's just like, oh, this is a series with some plot and stuff. And then I asked you, like, when the fight started, I was like, oh, so then, like, real guys hit each other? And you were like, yeah, well, they do wrestling. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah. Like, because the beginning, with the introduction and all that, I was like, oh, this is going to be a show about Lucha and wrestling. But it's kind of just a story that takes place within that universe and features the fights and shows them as you would any other wrestling match.
Totally.
It's a really cool balance. I didn't expect it to feel like that. Like I said, it's really enjoyable. I ended up finding myself rooting for the face in the matches, in the final match at least. Mm-hmm. That moment where they get one of them gets thrown through a roof of a small room, and then the door inside is locked and no one can find him, and they're like, "Oh God, he's gonna be dead. He's just gonna be dead." And then that's when he loses, is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's 100% an elimination. And then the lady does the kiss of death, and I was like, no, this is gross. Don't do this.
Yep. Wrestling gonna be wrestling, unfortunately.
Are there women wrestlers in Lucha Underground?
Totally.
Oh, wait, no, yeah, there was the lady that got interviewed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was her name again? She had a cool name.
Sexy Star.
Never mind.
You take it back.
I rescind my previous statement. Nah, I kind of want, and please actually don't at me this, because I don't have the time to get into something like this, but a wrestling show that is more inclusive and splits the difference between plot and fights much better. That's kind of what I would be more interested in watching, because I like watching. I like watching wrestling a little bit. I don't want an hour of it. I don't want whatever the WWE does, which is like fucking 4 hours a week or whatever.
Oh, it's unbearable.
No thanks. I'm good. I'm super good. I could take like a 20-minute, 30-minute fight, like a wrestling fight with a bunch of lore. That'd be awesome.
Just for the record, you know you're like massively lowballing the 4 hours a week, right?
You're kidding.
I think it's somewhere around 7 or 8 hours a week.
Is it multiple nights a week?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And you
so there's Monday Night Raw, which is 3 hours.
Yikes.
There's SmackDown, which is, I think, 2 hours at this point. There's 205 Live, which is an hour. There's NXT, which is, I think, like an hour and a half or something.
No.
There's Superstars. They just don't know when to stop.
Isn't there a Divas, like, reality show?
Uh-huh. Are there two? Yes, there are.
Oh, no! I watched some of that one. Daniel Bryan was on it. And I was like, oh, hey, Daniel Bryan, what's up? He seems like a friend.
Daniel Bryan is on that show to just be incredulous at how insane everyone is.
Yeah.
That's his job. Yeah. Which, like, fair enough.
Same. So, yeah, I think there is a lot of potential in wrestling as a medium that is not being realized. And Lucha Underground is way more interesting than anything I had seen from the WWE. But, like, cut the fat, guys. Nobody wants to see fights this long. Nobody wants to see fights this long. Somebody wants to see fights this long.
I like some of the long fights. But...
okay, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, well, I can't speak for everyone, but...
yeah.
I don't think so. I'm going to give you 3 stars. Three guards. All right.
Okay. Cool.
Very cool.
Well, let's kick it to our death match.
Death match, death match, death match. I didn't do homework music, so I'm making up for it.
So our death match this week was Sun Moon Star, which is a gambling game where the other players who are not the DM can choose to basically pick Sun Moon or Star, and then you have to bet on which one they picked. That's basically the game.
So it's kind of the weird thing is I wrote in my notes. I was like, this DM is too complicated. It's super not like the rules explain it in a way that's bad. Because what you just did, you just explained the rules perfectly. Every player picks one of three things, and then the two DM contestants have to see if they can guess what the player picked, and they make bets on it. That's it. But then they're like, oh, there's all these rules. Like, if the winner bets this, then the other person can only has to bet that plus more, and then you have to bet double that and all this stuff. And it's like, just no, it's way simpler than that. And you can even call it's almost not even a gambling game, because what you're gambling on is whether is your friend's honesty. Because you technically have you always have a 33% chance of being right, 33.3% repeating, but people can tell you, hey, here's what I picked, here's what I want you to pick, and stuff like that, and get the game to move on and be right, hopefully most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this game was go ahead.
I was just gonna say it sounded like you had some thoughts about this game.
I did. So this game is between Hong Chul, the boy, and Jake Young, the singer.
The girl.
I'm just a girl playing against a weirdo. he is super committed. And so before I get deep into my like problems with Hong Chul's plan, the pros. He makes good alliances. He uses his alliances to his advantage. And his final play, which kind of wins him the game, is a really solid way to establish, hey, I trust people. You should trust me. I'm trustable. I get that. Fuck everything about going all in when you're already winning just to end the game sooner because it's a power play. Don't do that. Do not do that. I was very mad at my screen when I saw that happen.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Six, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, what's the problem?
It's so dangerous. They literally say, he could have won. If he didn't go all in and he's wrong, he just got eliminated. He just left the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's so dangerous.
It's very dangerous, and I don't know if I would be able to make that play myself. I don't know if I would have that kind of confidence. But, like, Jinho not only told him what he played, he told him how to figure out how everyone else played. Mm-hmm. He gave him reasons to have faith in him. He was like, hey, listen, I was trying to help you in the main match. It didn't work out. I want this to continue to work.
Yeah.
He knew that everyone was mad at Jake Young. He knew that everyone else had Garnets on the line, invested in him winning. And, yeah, I mean, like, it's that educated risk of, like, listen, if I do this, what I'm saying is, look, if you give me the ball, I will run all the goddamn way.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's the pro of
it. I am, like, it's the most ride-or-die partner move you can imagine.
Yeah. You just made yourself a fucking ally. You just invented the Hong Chul Jinho Alliance.
Exactly. I mean, like, I think that is going to be a huge asset moving forward. And again, I'm not the type of player, I think, who would be able to commit to that. I think I would get scared. But it's an amazing play, and I really respect that kind of commitment. It's like, no, listen, if I can't, like, either what I was told is right, and everybody has my side, or they don't, and I'm going to lose, let's settle it now while gaining myself some psychological and social advantages. Because also the psychological side of it is, Jae Kyung is just destroyed after
that. Yeah, she's just it's like Shinji in the fucking EVA after something bad happens. And he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's a very high-risk, high-reward play. And he got every possible reward from it.
Yeah, I'm super glad it worked out for him. I do want him to progress, obviously. Give me those big, big points, baby. But just please, please. Because even they say, like, oh, that's dangerous. Like, you get all these cutaways where everyone's like, I don't know about that. And I'm so, like, obviously it worked. Like you said, Jinho told him, hey, this is going to work. Make your bet. Win the game. But, like, especially because, and maybe I'm just a sap for falling for this, but the episode, like, right before they flip the Jinho card, like, cuts to commercial, replays the whole scene, cuts to something else, and then they finally show it, and it's like, yeah, he won. Great job. Good. Jinho told him to do it, and then he did it. That's really great.
Part of the problem, and this is not their fault, it's just the way I'm watching it, but I was like, there's too many minutes left in this episode. He definitely won that bet.
Right. If he lost, then the episode would just be over. That's a good point.
And I honestly hate having that information. I should look into whether or not I can turn it off, because I don't want to be able to do that. But
well, I guess if you're watching the full episode, you can just go to full screen and like close the timer.
I hate full screen.
Okay, then.
That's a separate that's a separate conversation, but I have a thing about.
Sure. Well, I don't know. I mean, you could download the episodes and then just put them in VLC in a window and not. Oh, well, the timer doesn't go away if you do that.
I'll figure something
out. Yeah, there should be options to do that, though. But I see what you're saying. Like, if I watched this on TV, I would just be watching it. I wouldn't be, like, expecting it. Like, oh, there's 5 minutes left. But they play the game, and it's pretty straightforward. Everyone picked mostly set. They are accurate in what they tell people that their picks were, Sun, Moon, and Star. The points get bet back and forth. I feel like they're dealing with large quantities of I guess they're just points. They're not garnets, right? That they're betting with.
Oh no, the DM players are betting with points, but the real players bet with garnets.
That's what I thought. Okay. Because they say you can influence the game by giving a person more garnets or something, right?
Just by giving them the answer.
Basically. Oh yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's just kind of that. Like, he knows he's gonna win early on because he picked the right alliances, and then he wins devastatingly. Mm. And I kind of felt bad a little bit for her, because she has that funny moment right before the DM starts, where she like pouts her lip and goes like, "I'm gonna kill him," and you're like, "Jae Kyung, good luck. Hongchul knows the game very well. Please, good luck to you."
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I didn't want to see her win, obviously, but I was kind of like, oh, yeah, all right, I have stake in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, she gets eliminated pretty substantially, and Hongchul wins a lot of garnets, yeah.
Yeah.
So
what do you feel about the, like, I don't have any beef with the DM players.
Okay.
Hongchul did his thing. Jae Kyung did hers, and it was really a bummer that it went the way it did for her. Just because, you know, I don't want anybody to go home. I mean, I do. I want the numbers to be whittled down, but, like, I want to be a fan of everybody, right?
Yep.
But this DM wasn't between Hongchul and Jae Kyung.
Nope, exactly. I don't like
it
that.
It was that, yeah, it was the majority deciding, let's make some money.
Yes. It's like playing Scamming Horse Race, but the horses are your players.
Right, and it's like, I don't know, I find that dissatisfying.
Mm-hmm. I do too, I 100% agree. I like, and I've said before, my favorite DMs are the ones where it's all on the player, Like, I think that they made the poker game. What was the poker DM called?
Not the poker. Indian Poker.
Yeah, Indian Poker. I think they made it worse when they had other people contribute to it. I think that ruined that game.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to just be a battle of wits. Like, you can totally... Because that's what makes Jin... That's why Jinho won the first season, was... Because you were talking earlier about how, like, oh, Yuan doesn't realize that, like, Jinho is good at this or whatever. Or Jinho doesn't know that he's good at it, whatever. Jinho got good by getting sent to the fucking DM over and over and over and over again and playing well. Mm-hmm. Like, the dream DM is one where you can... pull yourself up and say, I got this in the microcosm. I don't need to think about big plays. I don't need to think about alliances. Me by myself with my brain and my tactics can win this. And I don't think that this DM was that at all. I don't think it was I think it was an alliance game.
The two season one moments that to me define the genius are, one, in the election game, when it's revealed that, like, before the game even started, it was already set up through alliances and social play, and everyone just pretended.
Yeah.
That's just, like, that's the social side of it, like, the social game is so thorough and so considered and so, like, boots on the ground, shaking hands, making promises, mm-hmm. that this game has been over this entire time, and you had no idea. That's one. And the other is Jinho's play in Open Pass, where he had no allies, he had no hints, he had no help, and he just did it.
Mm-hmm. You can just do that. It's magical.
It's magical. And when it's just like, oh no, like, everybody decided, and, like, you know, I don't begrudge them, like, fucking get, you know, get paid. Goddamn, get paid. Get some garnets. But it's a bummer that that was in the cards, and it's a bummer that that's how it went down.
Yeah. And again, so, it's like, there's a finite number of DMs you can make. And we didn't love the first one of this season, so I think we're kind of at 0-2 for DMs this season.
Yeah.
Hopefully, these aren't ones that they repeat. I think you told me, right, that they don't repeat any DMs this season?
That's what I've been told. I haven't checked that.
Okay. If that's true, then, yeah, we got more chances. But right now, I'm just like, oh, these DMs are bad. I don't like... They need to know that, let the players play themselves. Don't... Give me all this alliance shit during the DM. Give me that during the main match, and that's it.
Yeah. I honestly, I feel like DMs, like you said it last episode, is that DMs should be treated as just as important as the main match.
Yes. That's the second half of the episode.
Yeah.
Or that's the back third, I guess, technically, if you, numbers. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I also was going to just ask you. So first of all, she gets eliminated. Sad face.
Right.
Her like leaving speech is like not the most graceful.
No.
Even her saying, like, she says, like, it kind of reads to me like when I was in like middle school and they told me to like write something nice about someone, because she just go, or like to write something like write about the themes of this book for English class, where she's like, in The Genius, everybody here is a community, and I learned what it's like to be in a community, and I'm gonna take that back to the real world. Bye. Okay.
She just got eliminated from The Bachelor, second episode. Didn't have anything to say.
Pretty, like, honestly, yeah. That's fair. She doesn't have, there's no, like, big emotional attachment to people getting eliminated this soon. But that's nothing. That's a nothing statement.
Yeah.
And then I was confused, and this is partly because we were, like, starting this episode as I was finishing. What was the, like, reveal? After, like,
the reveal was just that everybody had bet.
Oh.
It was, the reveal was that the game was rigged from the start.
Oh, that's, all right, great.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That even Yoon Sun sold out Jae Kyung, which is a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
I get it, but damn, that sucks. Because they were, like, she won that first DM for Yoon Sun, and they were, like, ride or die. And, yeah. I guess Yoon Sun was in a position where it's like, oh, you're obviously going home. I guess I might as well profit. I get it, but it's a bummer.
Yeah. I think amongst the women now, with three left, I think Dae is still my ringer.
Well, let's talk about that, because we have some fantasy points.
We do. Let's rack them up.
So first off, racking up fantasy points. I'll do yours first, because this is going to be anticlimactic. So your team of Jinho, Hong Chul, and Dae. I think I'm saying Dae wrong. I need to practice. I need to listen to my video of how to pronounce things some more. So Jinho earned you 46 points. Mm-hmm. Hongchul earned you 15. And Dai earned you 15, giving you a total of 76 for the episode.
All right.
This brings you up to a total of 100 fantasy points.
Big 100, baby.
My team of Songmin, Yunsun, and Yuan earned me 9, 7, and 10, respectively, giving me a total of 26 for the episode and overall 67.
Wow.
Obviously, I have lost this episode.
Okay, you have plenty of room to turn it around, though. That's good.
I do. And so here's what I want to talk about, like, how you are feeling about your team right now.
Okay.
So just player by player, you've got Jinho, you've got Hongchul, you've got Dai. How do you feel?
I'll be honest, even though I think, I just said Dai, I think, has a lot of potential, I haven't seen her do anything exciting yet, mm-hmm. other than last episode. So I'm kind of iffy on her. Hongchul is my ride or die. He's my ringer. In terms of fantasy points, like, I know he can't win. He cannot win. But he can rack me up some motherfucking fantasy points, and that's really fun to me that I can have a player that does that but doesn't win. Mm-hmm. And then Jinho, again, winner in a different or ringer in a different way, I think is playing the games well. But he could go either way for me.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
So Songmin, like, you know, why are we even asking this question?
The GOAT.
Next question. Right. Yunsun, I have a really, like, she hasn't earned me very many points at all, but I have a really good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's got the right attitude. She's got the right mind. She's got the right presence. She's going to be a big deal in this show. And she hasn't had her moment yet, but it's going to happen.
Are you talking about which one?
Yunsun,
yes.
The lawyer.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then Yuan. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but it's, you got to show me, like, he's a pile of firewood that's very gently smoking, and he's either going to get a spark and catch fire, or he's just going to fucking do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no middle ground. He's not going to do okay. He's going to do great, or he's going to fucking collapse.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I'm not confident in him right now.
Okay, yeah.
I guess I'm glad I'm not redrafting right now, because I kind of want to give him a little more time.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a grower rather than a shower. But I am not impressed.
Because I'm just looking at the full cast photo right now, and I'm trying to think, I guess if you redrafted, who would you take? You said you'd probably take Doohee.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you would get rid of Yuan?
Yeah. Right now, that's the way I would be leaning.
Okay. I think if I were to redraft, just because we're, like, talking and having fun, I guess, whatever, I would consider redrafting Dai. I feel weird saying that because I just drafted her, but I'm already like, something in the water. I don't know.
I think the first time you see her in a DM, you're going to be sold.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah.
I think she's going to crush.
Okay. I hope so. I sincerely hope so. If I were to redraft her, I would probably, like, I would just give her up for another wild card. I would give her up for either Yeongkyul or Yeonghyun. Because can you imagine the congressman going far? That'd be so good.
It would be pretty good.
But it'd be so good.
I mean, he's already lasted 2 episodes. Like, we saw him and we were like, oh, look, there's the first elimination. All right, who's next on the list?
Yeah, if he makes it to, like, I don't know, top four, top three, whatever, that is the greatest example of falling up that I've ever seen. If he does that, he won't. I'm saying next 2 weeks. If he makes it past these next couple weeks, I'm totally drafting him. He's gonna be my new ringer.
It's just gravity doesn't work the same for him. He just falls towards success.
That's what I'm saying. He's on moon gravity, motherfuckers. He's going to be a star.
All right. Well, I think, I don't know. What do you think about, like, if you had to redraft Jinho, if you had to redraft him, Jinho, mm-hmm. right? Would you replace Jinho with the Plugson?
Yeah. Sorry, that gave me like an illness. I'm Almost deceased. I'm getting there now. Oh, hey, I found inside of my stomach a full plug. Wow. What's your question?
No, go ahead. Keep doing your weird, like, vor thing that you do.
Oh my god, I keep doing vor, you're right! Oh no! It just keeps happening, that's just how I am. How I is. Hi, my name is Alan Ibrahim. You can find me on Twitter, at my name, it's at AllenIbrahim. You can also listen to me on two other podcasts. One is Fireside Friends, which is found at firesidefriends.net. That's where my friends Ryan, Katie, and I discuss pop culture and how it affects us in a friendly monthly format. And I'm also on Chats, a television podcast, which is found wherever you listen to those crazy things. And that's where my buddy Magellan and I talk TV shows. Right now we're watching Pushing Daisies. And if you're subscribed to that feed, then we just took a week off for me to record a solo episode where I talk about Saturday morning cartoons.
Hey, great.
Yeah, it was a fun one. What about you?
So I'm Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar, SixDetmar. And if you want to hear about all the shows and stuff that I do, there's a bumper at the end of the show. Yay.
My voice is in that bumper. Yay.
Yay.
We did it.
We did it. All right. Well, until next time, folks, always bet on Sun. Peace.
By the way, Six, I forgot to assign you homework. For this week, I'm going to have you watch the 1990s film Hackers. Have fun!
You're listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts, like Bottle Crow Reborn.
So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager.
And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jin-Ho Kong? And Jin-Ho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
Neutral game.
So if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game, and it'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime gaiden.
I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu.
Oh my god.
For the Emiya family. Operation Cereal.
Episode 4 yep. was a bit more understandable, but also, I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like touches
wipes
her face,
a tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.